Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back. I am so excited about today's episode because you are going to meet a guest today who is really going to open up and share about her mid-career journey and some of the things that she's been not only just wrestling with, but achieving. And so I'm so excited to welcome my guest. One of the things that I do want to share with you, though, is that throughout my career and especially my coaching practice, I've had an opportunity to meet and work with a lot of amazing people. But why I find mid-career so exciting and where I found my coaching niche is that helping people explore all of the options in front of them, both personally and professionally, to create a strategy to help them get there is without question some of the best work I have ever done in my career. Now, you are listening and have subscribed to this podcast because you are trying to figure out what's next for your career. And I just want to remind you, it is okay if you don't have all of the pieces figured out. A lot of people don't, and I remember what that felt like. So part of my goal for this podcast is to introduce you to people who, like you, are doing the best they can every day to figure out what's next. So today, I am excited to introduce you to Sarah White. Sarah's been working with a local restaurant group for several years and has branched out to start her own company this year, consulting for restaurants. As a mid-career professional, Sarah is excited about the possibilities and opportunities in front of her as she shows up every day to make the impact she wants in her career and in her life. She is a member of many local groups, including four Chambers of Commerce, the National Association of Women Business Owners, the Daughters of the American Revolution, and Rotary, to name a few. She loves to network and works to meet as many people on the planet as possible. Please welcome Sarah White. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, John. I'm really happy to be here with you. I love working with you and any opportunity I get to talk to you.
Absolutely. You know, we met through our local Chamber of Commerce, Central Fairfax Chamber of Commerce here in Northern Virginia. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how our friendship and working relationship has evolved as well. But just for us to get started, I mean, you've got that introduction for you and everything. But what I'm curious about is, what is it about restaurants, about working in restaurants and supporting restaurants, that gets you excited and makes you get up in the morning to go to work?
You know, it's really funny. I never anticipated going into restaurants. That wasn't my dream growing up. I changed every week what I was going to be when I grew up, but restaurant was never on the list until I took my first job as a server. And it turns out I really love helping people. People come in, they have a need, they're hungry. It could be they had a bad day and they use food to, you know, that comfort food makes you feel better. You have your favorite meal. They could be celebrating. It could be just dinner this week, or maybe the only date night that a couple gets for the week. And just being able to take care of them and be a part of that with them and help everything go off seamless, it really spoke to me. It really meant something to me at the end of the day. And I never even anticipated moving up from server after that. I loved it so much. And I still love any chance that I get to interact with guests and do table touches. And, you know, I like to be that manager that walks by and says, "Hey, is everything perfect for you? What can I do?" Just because it means a lot to me. It's really something to have that interaction, that almost a personal experience with every customer that comes in.
And Sarah, when you find that drive and that motivator, that's one thing. But then how does that motivation, I guess the right word I'm looking for here is change, when March 2020 happens and the pandemic hits, and you see not only the world, but really without question, your industry get turned on its ear? How have you had to pivot in the past year or so because of the pandemic?
I will say that I don't think my story is unusual compared to a lot of other restaurateurs. I think that a lot of us, you know, that when this first started, our first instinct was, of course, how am I going to protect my business and take care of my staff and keep everything going? But it was also, what can I do to help the community? How can I reach out? You know, our first responders are hungry. Our hospitals are working really hard. And what can we do? How can we make a difference in everybody around us's life and be really part of our community? And restaurants, you know, we're competitive by nature. I want you to pick my restaurant over the restaurant next door. That's the way business works. But we put that all away immediately. And it wasn't a conversation. It wasn't like we called each other up and was like, hey, you want to call a truce for a little bit? We just all instantly knew we were in this together and we were on the same team. And it was, you know, PPP funds came and I got some before my fellow restaurant friends and said, hey, can I take some of your staff on for a few hours just to get you guys through until you get yours? And how can I help? What can I do? And like I said, we were not the only ones. It was a consensus between the restaurant groups of we're going to make it, we're going to make it together.
That's amazing, right? And such a great testament to not only are you a service profession, but continuing to find ways to serve the community and your fellow restaurateurs and other restaurants and businesses in the area to really help them. So where are things now? So here we are, we're in February of 2020. What does 21? Geez, it still feels like we're stuck in 2020, right?
Right.
So what does 2021 look like for you and your restaurants?
Well, we all had this feeling, and I think that it's part of the reason that you said 2020 even is that, oh, well, if we can just get to 2021, this will be done. Like we're right. Good. Just get to the next year, put this year behind us. But you know that isn't the case. We're not there yet. So I think it's important that everyone knows restaurants are worse now than we were 6 months ago. You know, even during the worst of this, or what we perceived as the worst of this, it's gotten worse than that for the restaurant industry. Yes, people are getting vaccinated. People are getting back out into the public a little bit more, you know, stir crazy. Everybody wants to go out, see somebody do something. But restaurants are not seeing that because everybody learned to cook. I don't know about everybody else, but I learned meal prep during this. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we all took that time. You know, we had time to watch those YouTube videos and see how they make that happen. So we're all, and you know, that's not to say you should spend what money you do have going out to restaurants. But if you have the opportunity to support your favorite place, we appreciate it. And you know, we've always appreciated our guests. But we appreciate you now more than ever.
Absolutely. I know for us here at home, we've certainly learned to cook a little bit more. I've certainly fine-tuned some baking skills, which is not helping the waistline, but we're working on that too. But it's that piece about food in general is very community oriented, right? It's about the idea of sitting around a table and being able to share a meal and things like that. And I know for me and my friends and my husband, I mean, you know, we miss being able to go out to restaurants on a frequent basis. So my question to you from your lens and everything you're seeing, both pre-pandemic and post, is what makes a good restaurant great?
I'm probably very biased in this because this is my egocentric look at it. But in my opinion, it's the people. It's absolutely, you know, you could go in and have the worst food, excuse me, ever. You can have food that just, it came out wrong. It's not what you ordered. And but if your server was amazing, if your manager that was on duty came over and fixed it for you and got you the right food and found you something that you loved and they worked together as a team. You know, the host said hello to you on the way in and goodbye on the way out. You'll come back. You'll give them another chance. Like that's the bottom line. If you've had the best food that you've ever had, it was so delicious, but you come in, the server was rude to you. and you had a terrible experience, you're never coming back. You're never going to, it doesn't matter how good that food was. It doesn't matter about anything else. It could be the place next door to your house. You're not giving them another chance because you don't want to feel like that. We go out to a restaurant to feel good. It's the first thing that we're all going to do after pandemic. I'll guarantee if you ask somebody, what's the first restaurant you're going to? They have at least three answers. That's just how we feel about it. It's how we feel about restaurants and how much of a part of our culture that they are. And so it's all about the people, in my opinion.
That's such a great answer. Thank you for that. Yeah. So you've had a little bit of a career pivot, or maybe even the best word here is an extension, because not only are you managing and overseeing a group of restaurants here in the Northern Virginia area, tell my listeners what they are again.
Okay, so are. I have three out of the five Lost Dog Cafes. That's McLean, South Arlington, and Dunloring, and then Cowboy Cafe on Lee Highway in Arlington.
Got it. Okay. And so you're doing all of this, and then you decide, I think I can help other, or I know I can help other restaurant owners transform their restaurants. And so now you open a consulting business for restaurants. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So the owners of our current restaurants, the ones I just named, started things from being delivery drivers. They were delivery drivers for a local restaurant, Lost Dog Cafe, and decided they wanted to franchise and branch out. But the group had never had a franchise before, and these guys had not owned a restaurant before. So it kind of went, it went well, and everything went as well as could be expected, but they didn't have some systems in place. They didn't quite have it perfect. So I came in and we talked about ways to turn them around as far as making them franchisable. How can I make my store look like your store, look like their store, and just be a unit? And I had so much fun writing those procedures and working with them to make sure that everything, you know, if you go to North Arlington and you go to South Arlington, you should have the same experience. And really setting up those standards taught me a lot about systems. It expanded my knowledge on training and writing training and that sort of thing. So when we got to COVID, it was, how can I use those skills? What can I use those to help someone who has a restaurant that, you know, maybe it was running perfectly for pre-COVID. During COVID is a different ballgame. Maybe you never had third-party vendors before. Maybe you didn't have staff working more than one position in the store. And now we've had to pare down and they really need to know how to do more than one thing. So how can I walk in, see what the issues are, and come up with a plan with you for what we want to see happen next? And I've been very fortunate to have friends with restaurants that are willing to let me come in and do that with them and see how we can make things a little more streamlined, make it run a little more efficiently so that they can keep some of the money coming in the door, or at least have enough money to pay their bills at the end of the week.
So as I'm listening to you give this answer, the phrase that is coming up for me is, it's like you can geek out about writing processes and trainings.
Right? It is ridiculous how much I like that. Every time an issue comes up, I'm like, wait, I have a list. They're like, of course you have a list.
Right. And how much does that talk to you though about where you get to fit and use your genius in this kind of work?
Well, how disappointing would it be if I made these lists for my restaurants, they use them, but nobody else ever sees them? Like, it's, you know, it's definitely worth it. And it's worth having it for my restaurants, but they're here. Use them.
Right. Yeah, it's so much about how we get to share we've often talked to about, we share our genius, we share that expertise in a way that really is out of this unconditional place of being able to serve fully, that's going to make a better customer experience, is going to make a more effective team and things like that. And so to be able to find that kind of spot for right now where you get to thrive has got to feel pretty special.
It's a job that I get to make my own. It's a job that I get to finally say, this is what I'm good at. And this is what I want to do. And this is how I can help you. And it's also one where I can say, these are the things that are just not my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. I am not going to be the best solution for you, but in networking and meeting everybody on the planet, let me introduce you to someone. I have someone you need to know. And being able to do that for my clients has been amazing. And finally having that position in my career to be able to say, that's just not for me. You know, when I'm a server and they say, you know, you're going to wait on this many tables and you're going to do this side work and you're going to do this side work after your shift, I can't go, you know, sweeping the floor really isn't for me. That's not, you can't do that. So getting to a place where I can say, you know, here's what I can do for you. And here's things that just aren't things that I'm going to be the best person for you, but I got someone.
Such great self-awareness there. Right. I mean, obviously, there's that kind of moment when we realize what we're good at and then what we're really good at. And when we get to lean into those things that we're really, really good at, some great work gets to happen there. And so exactly. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and you feel good about it at the end of the day. Sure. Like, you know that it's your talent. You know that you're bringing it. Whereas, you know, the things that I'm not as good at, I am not a social media marketer. I can tell you some ideas for making it better. I can tell you what's worked for me or for other clients in the past. But coming up with your content for you is never going to be my strong suit. And there's something empowering about saying, you know, I'm just not great at that. I think in so much in our career, we're afraid to say that. We feel like we have to be experts at everything. If somebody wants something from you, you feel like you have to be the best at it. And you know, it might have taken me nearly 40 years, but I've realized I can't actually do everything.
It's such an eye-opening moment for us at mid-career where we get that kind of awareness to realize, look, if you want to get the most out of me, you got to put me here. Don't force me in over here. I'll do my best at it, but it's not where you get to leverage me at the most. And
well,
I think
that's one of the things that I like to do for people coming into the restaurant. So part of my interview process is that I like to ask you a series of questions to get to know you better. Because if you tell me, one of my favorite questions is, what did you like to do when you were in grade school? Like, what was the one activity or class that you learned, or what was your favorite thing? Because if you tell me something like math was my favorite, you're probably not going to enjoy being a server. It's not for you. You like very linear thinking and you like an answer to everything. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not maybe 4. Whereas if you tell me I loved recess, you know what? You are probably social and you like to be active and you are going to love running between those tables, putting out fires, solving problems, and taking care of your guests. So it's just getting to know who's walking in the door and making sure that I can get them someplace that they're going to excel and be happy.
And that's not all of you either, right? So I really want everybody listening to this episode to realize that you have got this full-time job. You then have a consultancy that you are growing on the side. And really, as we're recording this episode in the first week of February, you just dropped a huge announcement that I know has been a big goal of yours for a while, but I would love for you to share with everybody today what this third part or third facet of your professional world now is going to look like.
So we talked a lot about COVID and about pivoting and about the situation that we're currently in. And going through that, one of the things I realized is that I have some really great ideas for things that we could do a little better in the state, ways that Virginia could potentially, you know, come out of COVID a little better than we are currently doing in it. So I decided that I am going to run for the state house here in Virginia for the Falls Church District. And I would love to be the delegate for, I'm currently in the 53rd district, but with redistricting this year, that could potentially change. I just want to represent people. I just want to help care for our communities. And so if I can reach out and do that, if there's something I can bring to the table, I want to bring it.
So Sarah, I got to applaud you for that because that is a huge announcement. But the thing in me is that gets really curious about is coming off of just a really contentious national election and all of the things that we are seeing going on, what makes you decide, hey, I want to run for office? What's going on in your mind on that?
So I think it definitely relates to coming off of such a contentious election. I think that, you know, that has a lot to do with it. My husband and I are very politically minded, and we were sitting around watching the news with the election that was going on. And I kept saying, well, I would do this, or I would do that, or we could fix this by trying this, or I wonder if anybody's thought of going this direction. And it just kept going. And I kept thinking, somebody's got to change it. Somebody's got to do something. And I think I even said that out loud to my husband, someone has to do something. And I got up and walked across the room and I passed a mirror and I just glanced myself for a second. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm somebody. Like, I keep waiting for this, you know, knight in shining armor to come out and be this somebody, but I'm somebody. I could make a difference. And presenting those ideas, if you have ideas and you're not bringing them to the table, why not? Whether it's writing somebody who's already in office or running for office yourself, I really think getting out there and getting more ideas on the table and being represented, because a lot of times we're being represented by extremes. Extreme one way, extreme another, you know, it's not two directions. That goes in a million directions. So being somebody who's, you know, very moderate and very common sense, I feel like I could be a uniter and really bring people together and say, we're not that far apart. How can we make things better for our people?
And it just ties back into everything that we have talked about today, which is about your passion for serving, right? So whether it's at the restaurant, it's helping businesses, but even your community, it seems like all of this just ties in beautifully with one of those core values for you that seems to be about service.
I have a very serious calling to help other people, to serve other people, you know, whether it's making sure that they've eaten today or helping out with raising funds for the local Rotary Club. I just like to be involved. And I think that, you know, there are so many of us on this planet and we are all in this together. We're in it together. It doesn't matter who you like and who you don't like, you know, and separating that out into local government is really something I'm passionate about because I can affect change in my community. And if you don't believe that, you know, go out and ring the bell for the Salvation Army at Christmas. Just watch how many people donate money and then watch where that money goes. Watch what they do with it. Whatever that happens to be for you, find something and just seeing it flow from the impact you had, maybe 2 hours of your day, you really, really can make a difference. It's so disheartening when people say, oh, well, one vote doesn't matter. Well, one person can't make a difference. You can.
Well said. So you and I have known each other, I guess maybe a little less than a year. We met through a local Chamber of Commerce event that I was speaking at, and then we kind of connected afterwards and we started a conversation. And then I was so grateful and honored that in the fall of last year, you decided to join my Show Up Challenge, which was a group program I was running at the time that was centered around those six strategies that are in my first book. And what I'm curious from you here is, like, when you think about what it means for you to show up in your career after everything you've done, the experiences that you had within our group, how would you define what it means to show up for your career right now in this moment?
You know, one thing I think that we explored really, really well, there were a lot of things that I learned from the group, but one thing that just resonated with me and the particular group that I was in was that we are in charge of our lives. So showing up is doing that evaluation to say, I want this. This is where I want to be in my life. I have the skills, I have the training, or I can get those things. And I'm going to show up and make this happen. Like, I'm not going to sit here, you know, in the restaurant industry, my restaurant friends will understand this one. We always have several servers that are going back to school next week. They're going to go, they're going to do it. They're going to go, they're going to sign up and they're going back to school next week for the fall. You know, whatever it happens to be, or I'm going to apply for that next management position when it comes open, I'm going to do it, but nobody ever does. Showing up is taking the time to go, no, this is actually what I want. I'm not just throwing it out this week as a hypothetical. It is something that I really, truly believe in. And then getting your support system around you. We were that for each other in the Show Up Challenge of saying, no, wait, did you look at it this way? And, you know, hey, did you go and do that last week? Did you, you know, how did it go? What can we do for you? And it was about not only showing up for ourselves and doing what was best for us, but showing up for each other and just being that support system for each other. Because if you don't have that, you don't know what you're missing.
One of the things, without question, I was so grateful for with your group was how supportive you all were of each other and really started melding in that kind of way in a really short period of time. It was a 3-month group, but you guys all kind of clicked pretty easily at the start. But then by the end, it was almost like, oh, we're kind of wrapping this up here. But I know you've all been able to keep in touch, and even still by being part of the private Facebook group that we have now called Your Mid-Career GPS, which anybody can join. It is still nice to see those kind of supports and things like that coming through.
And if we see something from each other, we're still the first people to comment back on it. It's like, it's, you know, we still keep up with each other. And like you said, we got vulnerable with each other really fast.
Yes.
Like, I think we were all just in the same place and we recognized it really quickly that, you know, we might've been in different careers because none of us were in the same career, but we were in the same place.
Without question. Yeah. And that's one of the great things that binds us all together on this mid-career journey is that the experiences on some level can be different to a degree, but the commonalities around the successes, the challenges, the pain points, the hurdles, the questions and things like that are really united for everybody around this shared experience where on some level we think we all have to have it all figured out because we've been doing this for 20 years or so, and the truth is we don't. It all just kind of evolves, and that's where we are. So go ahead.
I'm going to say that's, I think, what brings us together. I think the first time that you realize, and everybody hits it at some point, that when you walk into a room, you're not the only one thinking, is anybody going to sit with me? Is anybody going to talk to me? You know, why am I here? Should I have shown up? Did I wear the right thing? Mm-hmm. You're not the only one thinking it. And that knowledge is powerful. So I think that all of us kind of had that going into your group of realizing, you know, I'm not alone. First of all, I'm thinking all of those things, and we're on Zoom. So, you know, do I have the right background and all the things that go in with that now? But yep. You add to it that we're all like, you know, I'm at this place in my career and I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next, but I kind of know what I want. And just knowing that we were all there. And I think that you can take that knowledge into any group you walk into. You know, if you're on the first day of work with a training person, you know, whoever's training with you either has been in your place and now they're training you, or maybe they're training with you and it's their first day, or they trained last month. They know what you're going through, and reaching out and making that connection with another human being of, hey, here's where I'm at and I'm not really sure what to do next. Getting that help from people empowers them to feel good about it. And it gets you the help that you need.
Oh, so well said. Completely agree. So Sarah, look, as we start wrapping up here, I got a couple really quick questions for you here. So one is if you could describe your mid-career journey right now in, you know, one or two words, basically, what would you say?
Scary, exciting.
Scary and exciting. All right. And if you could go back and talk to yourself, say even 10 years ago, what advice would you give yourself then to help you get you through what you're going through right now?
I think that if I could go back and give myself advice, it would definitely be to appreciate what I'm going through as I'm going through it. Like, you know, the hard days taught me the biggest lessons. And you take those hard days and you're not sure that you want to get up and even go back to that job tomorrow or whatever that is. But when you really take it for what it's worth, take the knowledge from it that you can gain, even those hard days become important.
I like that a lot. That's so well said. Well, my friend, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really appreciate it and loved hearing more about your story and everything going on. If anybody out there listening wants to get in touch with you, where can they find you and how can they connect with you?
So if you would like to follow me, Sarah White for Virginia is a really quick place, really easy way to find me at Sarah, the number 4 VA for pretty much any of your social media. And you will be linked directly to me. I'd love a message to hear about your story or anything that we can do to connect. Like I said, I want to meet everybody.
Got it. And that's Sarah with an H, right?
Sarah with an H, S-A-R-A-H, the number 4 VA.
Right. And they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
You name it, you got it.
Got it. All right, great. And then do you have a website you want to share?
Yeah, so exact same, sarah4va.com.
Okay, all right. Awesome. I'm going to put all of that in the show notes. But again, thank you so much. Continued success. Thank you for everything you are doing for our local community and helping to make it better. Good luck with the political run. I'm excited to follow you and see everything that's going on. And thank you for sharing your mid-career journey with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, John. This was great.
If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. If you haven't already, I'd appreciate it if you would leave me a rating and review to let me know what you think to help others find this podcast and continue to bring you relevant and useful content to help you navigate what's next for your career. And if you're ready to create your mid-career GPS and get rid of the overwhelm so you can find the job you'll love or love the job you have, visit my website at johnnerrell.com for more information about joining my private Facebook group and scheduling a free consult with me so we can start building your mid-career GPS together. Don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Nerrell Coaching. I'll see you next time.